What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 293 on this Friday, August 28th, 2026. Josh Callaway, Brody Lusk with you. 7 days, 1 week from kickoff. Boy, it feels good. We are so close to football. Fall camp is wrapping up. And with that, we're going to wrap it up on the show today. Biggest stock risers, both offensively and defensively. Who made the most progress over the last month? We will discuss what did we learn this fall. We will get into that as well, and some final camp updates going into the first game week of the season. We'll also tie up a little bit of hoops on the back end as well. Who is actually going to be eligible for this team? I'll ask Brody. He'll give the best answer he can to his knowledge. We'll discuss that a little bit as well on the back end. It's a packed Friday show. The season is here. And a reminder, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code on your screen on YouTube in the corner right there below below Brody. Sooners 60. Use it. Be with us. 60% off VIP for a year. Every day, Brody, myself, Tom Green over on Sooners Illustrated. All right, Brody, let's dive into it. Fall camp is, you know, this is always, I said it with Tom on Monday, like this week is weird because like it's still fall camp, kind of, but also like it's, they're shifting into game prep. So it's all just semantics, but however you slice it, we're a week away from the start of the season. The first game week is really upon us for all intents and purposes. Been a good fall camp right now, so we'll get into the weeds of it. But in general, Brody, I mean, you stayed healthy, knock on wood mostly. You lost Jake Michael, but he's going to be back. Other than that, pretty healthy. Feels like a lot of young guys stepped up. Feels like the offense got significantly better, like more and more confidence with each week. Overall, I mean, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it, but feels like a really productive and good fall camp for Oklahoma.
Definitely feels to be the case. You know, it really, the last week of actual fall camp, you had a lot of the twos get in, a lot of the reps. And so, it you know, really only one major scrimmage, I would say, from fall camp. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy that we're at this point where the first game is a week away. You know, kind of been going back through fall camp, who had a good fall camp. So, yeah, it's crazy we're at this point. I'm super excited for the season to get started. And, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're going to wrap it up today with kind of our biggest stock risers, who really gained the most and kind of what we learned. Before we do that, let's quickly kind of give some final updates, in particular on the offensive line. Obviously, yeah. This is where the conversation has kind of been dominated the last week or so, however long it's been since Jake Michael got hurt. Time moves weird in fall camp. You know, just this morning, Tom posted our final projected depth chart over on Sooners Illustrated. That was a collaboration. Tom put it together. But he got feedback, obviously, from Brody and I, kind of collectively what we thought, what we're thinking. You know, right now, it kind of feels like, and Brent Venables said it such last week, that Ryan Foje getting some run at that center spot. And Noah Best has put together this awesome camp, and you've reported on it. You've been all over it over on Sooners Illustrated, that Noah Best, man, this guy feels like he's got a really good chance to start anyway, even not at center, just because of the Michael injury with Foje at center. And then potentially Noah Best taking that right guard spot. What's your feeling? We're a week away, obviously, from them actually lining up. But what's kind of the sense that you've gotten a little bit on where this offensive line is right now? Because I think we all just assumed what it would look like. And then when Michael went out, it was like, all right, well, it's probably either going to be Nita or Best at that center spot. But it feels like probably going to be Foje. But then the young guy is maybe in position at right guard and Noah Best. Where are things at in the offensive line in your mind right now?
Yeah, I think it's between Foje and Caleb Nita to be the starting center. And obviously, if you go Nita, then Best would be the sixth man. And I think if that were to be the world in which that happens, I think you would still see Noah Best get a tremendous amount of run against UTEP. And if he's better than Nita is at center, or, you know, if Best is one of your best five, I think you could see it tweaked by Michigan. And all of a sudden, you're going to go Foje at center and Best at right guard or Best at center. But right now, I would lean towards Foje starting at center for Oklahoma. It feels like that's going to be their best five. It's going to be from left to right. Fasusi, Eddie Pierre-Louis, Ryan Foje, Noah Best, Imarion Harris. I think that's going to be their best five. Going into the season, we thought, okay, or going into fall camp, we thought Hito Zaida would have been the sixth man. He was unfortunately limited for a lot of fall camp, and that opened the door for Noah Best to then become the sixth man. Then Jake Mikla goes down, and now Noah Best has a chance to go out there and start. So it really seems like he was so good at fall camp or in fall camp that he has that chance to start. And Foje, you know, after the last practice last Saturday, we had notes up, and the biggest takeaway from that was Foje was really dominating the center snaps at on that practice. So really just seemed like over the last few days, they started working that in more and more and more. So it definitely seems like it's a real possibility. From what I've heard, it seems like the likely possibility that he'll be starting at center. And then that would mean that Hito Zaida or Caleb Nita would be your sixth, seventh man. But I think that'll be the five going into UTEP.
Are you a little surprised that Hito Zaida kind of got squeezed out? I mean, like you said, he missed some time. And we talk about it all the time. We talk about when Torrey Blaylock went down, like missing time in fall camp, even if you're back healthy now, which Hito Zaida is, missing that time is critical. We see it every year where it's like a guy misses a week or two of fall camp in the middle, and it kind of costs him down the road. So maybe it shouldn't be that surprising, but just considering that he's been around and I can't really be stressed enough what Noah Best is doing is not normal. Like this guy to come in, and Caleb Nita talked about it after practice on Tuesday night, like to come in and he was in high school, you know, however many months ago, 7 months ago, and the fact that he's in line to start at the University of Oklahoma, an offensive line that's supposed to be good, is kind of crazy, right? I mean, it's kind of nuts the way this has played out. And look, Eddie Pierre-Louis at left guard, you would think that he's probably going to be the guy there, but like maybe there's some rotation there and who knows how that all shakes out. And obviously Jake Mikla will be back. And so what happens then is obviously an interesting conversation because you would assume Foje goes right back to right guard, but like, do they want Best still in there at the other? Like that's all to be figured out in time, but it's kind of a crazy thing the way this is actually end up shaking out because I don't think anyone would have guessed at the beginning of even fall camp that Noah Best was going to just play his way in this potentially starting. It's kind of a wild thing.
No, absolutely. And Hito Zaida has 15 starts under his name right now. So I don't think there's a lot of other teams in the SEC that can say that their sixth man or now seems like the seventh man has 15 starts in the SEC. So it really does speak highly of Noah Best, the fact that he's really got the opportunity and he's just went and taken it. I think one of the most notable things about Best was in high school, he was playing tackle. And then a lot of the spring, he played some center. Now he's at right guard, and it seems like, hey, he's been good at right guard. He's a true freshman. We don't want to put too much on his plate. Let's just leave him at right guard and kind of let him do his thing there because that's where he's been throughout all of fall camp. That's my read on it. With Hito Zaida, you know, if you would have told me that Jake Mikla gets hurt and Ryan Foje is going to play center before the season or before fall camp, I would have said, all right, Hito Zaida is going to be your right guard. Makes total sense. But now, you know, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like Ozada will be the sixth man, and if hopefully not, but if there were anything to happen to any of those five, it's very simple. Hito Zaida comes in because Foje then can bounce to guard or tackle, however you want to go about it. So I think it speaks highly of Noah Best more than anything. The fact that once Ozada went out for, really, I think it was 2 weeks, Best just didn't look back, and it's unfortunate, but – That's the way it goes when you got a freshman that's this good or should be this good.
Yeah, no, it you know, it's hard not in general to feel like offensive line's in a pretty good spot. You know, I mean, depth certainly seems to be as good as it's been in a while. And for a guy like Best to emerge and be a legitimate option is you know, pretty exciting. So, and we'll get more to the offensive line, I'm sure, as we go. It's going to continue to be a talking point early part of the season. Before we get into our stock risers, real quick, did you have any grand takeaways from the fact that the nine captains that got announced for Oklahoma? If you didn't see it, nine captains, which I think is a record. Hopefully all nine are not actually going out for the coin toss because that'll be a hilarious visual. But the nine captains, if you didn't see, Peyton Bowen, Taylor Wine, Kip Lewis, David Stone, John Mateer, Michael Fasusi, Owen Heineke, Eddie Pierre-Louis, and Jake Mikla. That's a lot of captains. That's
a lot of captains. And I would think they would all walk out there together as captains, all nine of them.
Yeah.
But then only four go out to the midfield. I mean, last year I want to say there was six, and then Troy Everett went down, and then there was just five. I don't know, but nine captains. I think the only – I mean, none of that was really surprising, but the only like, oh, Michael Fasusi as a sophomore is one of them. I thought that was a little noteworthy. That was really it for me. I mean – you know, not shocked, but I'm a little surprised that there was nine of them. So, yeah, we'll see how that looks logistically this season with the nine captains.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of funny, and everyone hated the weekly captains thing, and so I think this is better than that, but it is still a lot.
I agree,
it is still a lot. Well, funny
thing. I wonder if you'll have like a true like these five are our true captains, and they'll be the ones that are going to walk out there before the team runs out, and then the other four are just wearing the patch. You know, maybe like Fasusi or EPL. I don't know how that's going to work. I guess it'll be interesting because nine of them walking out there would be a sight to see. We'll see. I still like this a lot better than the weekly captains, especially now with the captain patch. I'm wondering how that's going to work because, you know, they moved the SEC patch to the center of the jersey.
You're going to have an ad at some point.
At some point, you're going to have an ad. So then you're going to have the SEC patch, the uniform patch, and then ad patch, and then a captain patch for some of those guys. So guess this is the new this is new college football. At least it's not a Monster Energy patch, right? Nothing would be like that.
No kidding. Yeah, don't need that. You know, we were joking about the other day because usually the week of the first game, or at least at time, usually it's kind of been the norm is that we kind of get the captains. Like they announce the captains and we talk to them. But there's never been that many. So it's like we're going to get all nine guys on Sunday night when we talk to players before the opener. We'll see, obviously. Fun thing, though. Fun thing with the nine captains. All right. Let's do our stock risers.
Yeah.
This is kind of a good way to kind of put a bow on fall camp. And we'll kind of close it out with just a general of like biggest things we learned, top takeaway or takeaways from the last month. But we'll do some stock risers. It's an easy way to kind of hit the biggest winners of fall camp, if you will. Let's start on offense. I'll just rip one bandit off real quick because we just talked about it. But Noah Best, clearly one of the big stock risers. I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, this guy is in line to start as a true freshman. Yeah. You know, that's a rare error. It does not happen often. I mean, even Michael Fasusi last year didn't start the first game. Now, part of that was he had the heat thing. Probably would have if not for that. But nevertheless, and like it took Ryan Foje a little time, you know, again, but did start eventually as a true freshman. Yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, obviously, it's not normal. I think most OU fans recognize that. And so for this guy on offensive line that, again, is supposed to be good, and we expect him pretty good, to work his way into probably having a starting job, in the opener, really, really impressive. Got to be one of the biggest stock risers on offense by far, maybe the biggest, maybe on the team with what he did from kind of where we thought he was maybe in the summer to where he is right now, a week before the first game. That seems like a layup, right? I mean, as far as probably biggest stock riser, maybe again on the whole roster.
Yeah, I would agree with that take. I did a piece yesterday over on the side with analyzing the expectations for every single true freshman. If you haven't read that, go read that again. You can sign up with this code right here, 60% off the annual membership. That'll get you to next year. So you're going to get all of our content this season, portal content, recruiting content, all that. But Noah Best was, he was the one freshman that – or there were three, but he was one of them that I felt most confident. This guy's going to be a contributor on this roster. And it seems like every year, the last few years, you've had a few true freshmen just really, really stand out. You think back to – Jaden Jackson and David Stone, or Fasusi and Foje last year, Cortland Guillory last year, Eli Bowen his freshman year. It seems like this year that guy is set up to be Noah Best, is one of the really the main two. So yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens, but definitely I would put him as the biggest stock riser throughout fall camp. I mean, the fact that he's in line to start now, that's something. So I would say Noah Best would be the number one across the whole team for me at least.
Yeah, for sure. I wrote down three offensive names in particular. Noah Best was one of them. I'm sure we're on the same page with the other two. I'll turn it over to you. Who else you got that you really stands out, has had a really good camp and has positioned themselves to, have a much bigger role than maybe they did last year or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, let's go with another one who probably could start, Elijah Thomas. I think that one is fully up in the air. He had a really good camp, and kind of the first two practices started a little quietly, and it was kind of like, all right, what's Elijah Thomas going to do? Then he had a good practice. I think practice three looked really good. Practice four looked good, and the question with him for so long, talking with sources, has been, okay, we just need to see him do it consistently. We know what the talent is, but it needs to be consistent if we want him to have as big of a role as he can have with the talent he has. And really, since the third practice of fall camp, you just heard Elijah Thomas, Elijah Thomas, Elijah Thomas. Like, consistency was not an issue with him. And he's been so good that it's almost been undeniable. And I think that's what's going to give him an opportunity to start against UTEP. I think, yeah, I mean, we thought it was pretty cut and dry. Isaiah Satania, Trell Harris, Parker Livingston, barring any injuries. And it seems like Elijah Thomas is right there in that conversation. At the very least, he's going to be your fourth wide receiver. Think he'll play a lot. So I think he's a huge stock riser from fall camp, right? I mean, we all, I think it's very easy to get excited about what he can do because we know the talent that he has. And we just haven't seen it on Saturdays or a Friday night. Like, we haven't seen it yet at Oklahoma. And I think that opportunity is going to come now. So behind Noah Best, overall on the whole roster, Elijah Thomas will be my number two stock riser. I just think he's been that good. And the fact that he here has a chance to start, I think that's huge for him, but also huge for Oklahoma because his playmaking ability, if he can really be something, I think it takes this offense and the wide receiver room to another level. So I think it's huge.
Yeah, no, that's been one of the other really big kind of surprise, surprise being loose developments of camp in that, like you said, he is in line to start, it would seem, because, you know, like we said, Satania, Harris, and then Parker Livingston coming in, that was kind of the no-brainer three guys that were going to be that top line. And look, it's not like Parker Livingston is not going to play, because he is. Yeah. I've heard great things. I'm sure you have too. I mean, like, he's had a good camp. It's just Elijah Thomas has kind of been like, okay, it's coming together. Because, look, we heard great things last fall camp, right? I mean, the way that he was talked about last year was like, whoa, this guy might burst on the scene as a true freshman. And it never happened. He made some plays in special teams, but never really got on the field offensively, even though it was really an offense that was one receiver consistently making plays with Deion Burks kind of in and out, you know, making things happen occasionally. And so to hear that it's come together, and we got to talk to him on Tuesday night, and just it feels like it the light is coming on for him.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting because another thing we've talked about a lot over the last year or more is Oklahoma has not had a high school wide receiver come in and do something in a while. I mean, it's been a minute. It's Marvin Mims and then Drake Stoops. The last few years, it's been all reliant on transfer guys and like that just desperation for someone that they recruited to come in and actually like develop and be a really good player. It's only been a few years, but it feels longer because we were so used to seeing it year in, year out for so long. And so hopefully Elijah Thomas can be that guy. And I think the excitement is high and it's warranted. And, you know, like you said, it feels like he's in position to have a really big role at the very least as the fourth guy. But
yeah,
he's that first line on next Friday night. I don't think anyone should be surprised.
Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Do they just go with the older guy, Parker Livingston, for the first drive? Regardless, Elijah Thomas is going to be with the ones a lot of the night, and I think that's what really matters. We talk a whole lot about who's going to be the first one out there, who's going to start, but Elijah Thomas will be a factor. And I think there may not be a player I'm watching more closely on Friday night against UTEP than Elijah Thomas. Probably the running backs would be the number one for me, but Elijah Thomas, man, because just thinking about it, if you have Isaiah Satania in the slot, Trell Harris out at, you know, on the outside, which I think a very positive development of this fall camp was there wasn't many issues with Trell Harris, right? He started off a little limited. They're easing him back into it. Then once he got back out there, he was not only just out there, but everyone said Trell Harris is looking really good. So I think that's a very positive development. Like, you're not having a Javonte Gibson situation this year. Like, he's good to go. But if you have Harris, Satania, and Elijah Thomas, and then Parker Livingston as well, that's a really solid wide receiving core if Thomas can be what we think he can be. So very excited to see his talent on display. I'm interested to see if he can go make a play out there in the first game and just kind of, you know, assert himself. I think that'll be something to watch against UTEP. Definitely one of the biggest things to watch.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree. One of the bigger positive developments of really the entire camp was that Trell Harris has been healthy and has been, by all accounts, as advertised. Like, everything they hope would be, he's been, which is really exciting. And that's before we even get to, like, Jermichael Carter, Mackenzie Aline. Obviously, Jasir Rogers has flashed as a freshman. Manny Choice, who was really one of the big talks at fall camp early in the month of August. Like, it has a chance to be a pretty deep and good receiver core. I think everyone's in the same boat of, like, want to see it actually happen because we've kind of done this before. Where it feels like, man, they got a lot of guys at wide receiver. And then, like, the season plays out and it's really like three guys play and only like one guy has a good year statistically. Hopefully it's different this time, and it does feel like it will be. But
yeah,
I think everyone wants to see it, which is fair.
One thing as we talk about stock wise, and I was just thinking about this. Trell Harris, does he land himself on this list? It's not a sexy pick by any means, but he,
yeah.
I mean, there was no issues with injury. Heard Emmett Jones before when we did the local media day said he had a minor setback in the summer and was going to miss fall camp. I think everyone kind of freaked out. And then that wasn't a problem with him. And he's looked good, I think, really asserted himself as that wide receiver two behind Titania. So I think if I was listing guys on the offensive end, he has a case to be on there, even though it's not like he's not an Elijah Thomas or Noah Best type. It's different. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. The third name I wrote down offensively, and I'm sure we're in the same boat, but feel free to say otherwise, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just – I'm in. I've been very open about this. I'm all in. You know, not to tip my hand too much on the game preview show next Thursday, but player to watch, he's gonna be in the conversation for me as far as the first game. Just very excited to see this guy get out on the field. And again, we'll talk about it probably more in the game preview show, but it feels like he's had an awesome camp. Feels like there's no way he doesn't have a role. I mean, just the way that I can't really recall, at least in recent OU history, teammates talking about a freshman the way that these guys have. I mean, they just, their eye, like, it's like, yeah, like you can just tell the way they talk about him, like it is different. The way Xavier Robbins talked about him, Isaiah Satania, I asked John Mateer last week and he was like, yeah, he's just not normal. You know, like it's not what you typically see from a freshman, the size and the speed. And it feels like when you talk about putting together a good camp and positioning himself to have a role, especially as a freshman, that Jonathan Hatton has done that. And so that's very, very exciting because it feels like the best version. I'm a big Xavier Robinson fan, so I'm always careful to make it feel like I'm not trying to move past him.
Yeah.
But it feels like the best version of this Oklahoma offense is if Jonathan Hatton can really be like a guy right away. That would be a really positive and big development for OU in this offense.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do you see the running back room playing out if you had to call it right now? With Xavier Robinson in there and Lloyd Avant, then it just seems like Jonathan Hatton's lurking. I mean, what's your take on this right now, today on August 28th?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's those three guys, right, have kind of separated from the pack. The question will also be, whenever Torrey Blaylock is back, like, how does he fit in? Does he get fit in? I mean, if these other three guys are playing well, you know, how do you want to mess with that, you know? But it feels like Xavier Robinson probably your first guy out there, and Lloyd Avant will play. From there, it feels like Hatton's going to get carries, and then it's up to him to make the most of those opportunities. Because if he gets, you know, 7-8 carries against UTEP, and he pops a couple, and, you know, maybe he's, you know, doing what he needs to otherwise, you know, picking up blocks, being in the right place, maybe he gets more of a run in Michigan, and maybe that's where it could just kind of grow from there. Because at the end of the day, like, and we're still learning Dylan McCullough, but I get the feeling that, like, just because he's a young guy, if he's playing well and is helping them, like, they're going to roll with him. That's the sense I get anyway.
I agree with that. And I think really those three is like your main stable, those three backs. And I mean, just from talking with Dylan McCullough at local media day and just hearing things, it seems like he's going to play multiple guys. And I would think three, you know, with what Lloyd Avant can bring to the table, I think Lloyd Avant would be not on my top three stock risers, but I think he is somewhere on that list for me. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if when they're announcing starters on the video board or the depth chart comes out this weekend, I wouldn't be shocked if Lloyd Avant is the first running back, just more so based off his whole body of work throughout the spring and summer and the fall camp. And I wouldn't be shocked if he was the first one out there on the field Friday night. But I agree with you. I think regardless of who goes out there first, against UTEP and against Michigan, Xavier Robinson will be the running back one effectively. But I think for Xavier Robinson, he needs to go prove it against a Michigan or against a Georgia and prove that, you know, if there is going to be a bell cow back on this team, prove that it can be you. Because I think if he doesn't, man, it's just going to be hard to deny that position to Jonathan Hatton eventually, right? And I don't know what it'll look like, but, you know, if you have Hatton and Robinson getting carries and then you have Lloyd Avant as this, like, utility back, he can be in the receiving game, pass blocking. I think that's a good situation. But, yeah, I would put Jonathan Hatton high on this list. I mean, the first time media got to go view practice, man, I was just like, wow. I mean, he looks the part. What is it? 235, 22 miles per hour. That is, I mean, that he looks like an NFL running back. I mean, or like a not a freshman. So yeah. I think it's inevitable at some point. That's just my personal take. Inevitably, he'll take over. But yeah, him and Noah Best, they feel like the true freshmen this season. That all right, these are your two guys that are really going to have a big role in this team. Feels like Hatton and Noah Best.
Anyone else on offense in particular that you wanted to highlight? I mean, you know, for Stock Riser is the key. I mean, obviously, like Isaiah Satanius had a great camp.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Susi. I mean, these are guys who wouldn't consider Stock Riser necessarily because their stock was already high. Yeah. But anyone else offensively you wanted to hit before we go over to defense?
I have one more. And at first, I was going to say Whit Neubauer because I think he's at a solid camp, but I'll go with Trene Washington, right? And you've talked a lot about him on some of our instant reactions. The last time we went out to practice, man, Trene Washington looks good, right? I think he's going to have – I think he has a chance to have a role in this team. I think he could be maybe the third tight end, but nonetheless, I think he will be kind of your H-back for this team. And he really fits what they're looking for there, and I think that's kind of the role he's kind of carved out for himself, right? Since they're going to play a lot of multiple tight end sets, they will be able to play more tight ends. But I don't think you can play four tight ends. But I think the route for Washington getting on the field is going to be kind of as an H-back. So I'm interested to see, can he really make something happen there? He was one of my three stock risers from the last week of fall camp. Kind of quietly over the last 2 weeks of fall camp, Trene Washington looked good and really started to just kind of come on. So I'm interested to see what happens there. But I think he's a guy that he might surprise some people and have a role.
Extremely interesting. I've liked Trene for a while. You know, that top two feels like it's so solidified with Hanson and Beers. But yeah, like you said, that third spot has been kind of up for grabs. I mean, Van Dorsler obviously coming in, Trene, and some of these other guys that are returning. You got even the freshmen. That's very interesting. Very interesting for sure.
Yeah. And Van Dorsler and Beers at points throughout fall camp were limited and out. So that really did open the door for Washington. But yeah, like I said, I think his role is going to be more as an H-back than a tight end. I think that's really where he gets on the field this season.
Let's go over to defense. I wrote down a bunch of names here. I mean, you know, again, same thing where Stock Riser, the key term. You know, Kip Lewis is not going to qualify. There's lots of defensive guys with good camps, right? I mean, this defense should be really, really good. You know, we'll do our final season prediction show next week with Tom. But I feel like we're all going to be in this kind of consensus of, like, this defense has a chance to be, you know, one of the 5-10 best in the entire country this year. But what makes them so good, or made them so good last year, I should say, was the depth. These extra, you know, these kind of guys around the edges that were able to play really good 15, 20 snaps a game, whatever it ends up being. You feel like you've had a bunch of guys emerge in that area for Oklahoma, young guys who haven't really played a lot yet or whatever it may be. Where do you want to go first on defense? Because it does feel like there's a bunch really at every position that have stepped up and should have some sort of a role rotationally and are going to help. Where do you want to go first there?
Well, you made a great point last year. What was so good was just the depth on this defense. And going into fall camp, we didn't really know who those guys were going to be, but we were confident a Brent Venables defense, these guys are going to emerge. But you look back to last season, Marcus Strong at defensive tackle was the fifth defensive tackle. You know, he made plays. There was no drop-off. He had that safety against South Carolina that he forced. Mm-hmm. Then you look at linebacker. Samuel Masigo at one point was your fourth, third linebacker. He was making plays. At corner, Davon Jordan had a huge play that sealed the win against Alabama. Jaden Hardy was making plays all across special teams, and he was on the field a good bit at safety. So these depth guys have always played a big role on this team, and that was one of my things going into fall camp. Okay, I'm confident these guys are going to emerge, but who is it going to be? I would start at safety. I would start with Amarion Robinson. Would kind of be the first one for me, the biggest name, I think, defensively as a stock riser. You know, they knew what he was coming in, versatile, can play both the positions. But I think he really had a good camp. And when you look at their safety room, I think they're going to ask a lot of Amari Robinson because he can play both safety positions. You have Peyton Bowen and Michael Boganowski, but after that, it's just Amari Robinson. There's not a fourth guy that's going to be competing for snaps with him. So I think he'll have a big role, and he really did turn it on at the end of fall camp. I know everyone saw the interception in the Everest where he had the toe tap, that play, but he also had another interception in that scrimmage, and really – again, throughout the last 2 weeks, he was probably the biggest stock riser, I would say. At least defensively, he was really good. So I think he's going to have a huge role in this team, but he would be the first one that I would go to, like Amari Robinson. He kind of proved it this offseason as far as the fact that he's going to be able to be someone they can count on.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. You know, Tom and I did the safeties preview on Monday, and I talked a lot about I'm a big fan of Amari Robinson. I've really liked him since he's been here. And so I don't need to rehash that, but yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in on Amari, and it feels like that safety room. I mean, obviously you love Bowen and then Boganowski, and then Omarion's the only other guy that has. Right. I mean, it's freshman after that, so like you kind of need him to be really good, and it feels like he will be. But big year for him. He's a sneaky, like kind of really important guy for Oklahoma.
Yeah, so. Totally. I think they're gonna play him a lot. Like I think he's gonna play really a lot. Just because Brandon Hall likes to play a lot of safeties. Last year, he was playing four. And Amari Robinson did get some snaps late in the season, so five. But I think he can't do that this year. It'll have to be three, maybe four, but three. So I think Amari Robinson is going to have a huge role in this defense. He'd be the first one I would point to. He was just making plays throughout fall camp, what it sounds like. And it seems like there's just a lot of confidence in him. After Ford gets an honorable mention of safety, would be Markel Ford. He did some good things. But really, Amari Robinson, first defensive guy. But there's a few more you can get into. Who do you have on your list to next talk about?
Yeah, I have a few. First off, I'll throw the layup out there real quick. And he feels like cheating a little bit, but I'll throw the layup of Cole Sullivan out there.
Yep.
Again, he's kind of a tweener where he's not a young guy, and he played a lot for Michigan. So it's not like the expectations were not high for Cole coming in. But I feel like he's had a great camp. Feels like perfect, that big cheetah, and can also play. You know, obviously, I assume he'll rotate in, you know, at the other two linebacker spots, you know, with either Heinicke or Kipp or whatever that ends up looking like. And so he's an easy one for me. Almost feels like cheating to say him, but I'll throw him out there. As far as, like, younger OU players who are sliding into potentially bigger roles. Heard tons of great things about Tristan Haynes. Feels like he's the best guy in that corner room. We've talked about that before. You know, just year two for him. I mean, it's not like he's old. It feels like he has been around a while just because he was at Carl Albert. So he was down the road. I saw him play there a bunch of times, and like he's been committed and he signed again. He's a local dude. So it feels like he's been like around, and we've talked about him on this show for a long time. It's only his second season, and it feels like he's positioned to have a pretty big role this year. And that's very exciting because this was a guy who was very highly recruited in high school. He was a top 100 player, I think, for us at 24/7 Sports. Like, this is a big-time player that they got from just down the road, and good camp for him. And, I'm anticipating a pretty good-sized role for Tristan Haynes, which is exciting.
Yeah, really the first week, he was probably the biggest stock riser, at least defensively. You know, before he kind of got limited a little bit, but it wasn't nothing long-term. And he looked really good. He was making plays with the ones. Man, he was impressive. And I think that was a question going into fall camp. Who is going to be right? We know Bowen, Guillory, Jacoby Johnson. Who's fourth? The contenders were Tristan Haynes, Dakota Fields, and Derek Johnson as like a dark horse. Tristan Haynes, it very much seems like he went out and took that. Haynes is going to be your fourth cornerback. And, you know, because he's your fourth cornerback, he should get to play a good bit this season and have a pretty – decent role on this team. I would definitely have him as one of my top stock risers on this defense as well. Just think it was a really sound fall camp. I think Haynes, I feel confident now that I know who the top four cornerbacks on this team are going to be. And I think you feel really good about having a guy like Tristan Haynes as your fourth cornerback.
Yeah, for sure. Two other names that are both year three guys that I'm sure you'll agree with, and you can just take it and run with it. James Nesta at linebacker, and then Wyatt Gilmore at defensive end. I feel like both guys are in the same boat of been around for a bit now, haven't played a ton before this season, but now are both guys that are positioned to play quite a bit. And, you know, both in the same boat in that they got big-name dudes at their position, Heinicke and obviously Kip Lewis, and now we talk about Cole Sullivan. At defensive end, you got Okoye and PJ, and obviously Taylor Wine, who's an all-SEC level player. But those are both guys. And again, this is what we said at the top of this. Like, when you talk about what made OU so good last year,
yes,
being able to take those stars off the field and not lose a lot, feels like that's kind of where they're at with these two, right?
Yep.
Whenever it's Nesta's time to get some snaps, and same thing for Wyatt Gilmore, like, you feel okay about it, which is an exciting thing for Oklahoma because you don't want to rely on just a handful of dudes. That's what got him into trouble earlier in Brent's tenure, where they just didn't have that depth. They have it now, and these two guys are a big part of that, both, you know, going into their third year.
Absolutely. And last year, Dan Okoye was your fifth defensive end. And so they play a lot of defensive ends, and so Wyatt Gilmore throughout fall camp, he's really been a stock riser for the last few weeks. And he just, it was kind of a quietly being really sound player. When he goes in, there's not a huge drop off. He does all the right things. So I think he's going to be the fourth defensive end. That was another position battle that seemed to be in question. Would it be Kenny Azuwalu, who's now working full time edge, or Jake Krail? That seems to be Wyatt Gilmore, seems solidified. He's your fourth edge. I think he'll play, and I think it'll be, I think he'll be just a sound player for them going in. James Nesta, fourth linebacker. I think Owen Heineke said that he has had the best camp of any linebacker as far as like stock rising or growth, something along those lines. So James Nesta should be in line for a bigger role because I think they'll play four linebackers this year, and I think that should open the door for him to get on the field quite a bit. But yeah, both those guys, year three guys, they kind of seem like, hey, they've been developing. They're, you know, it's not going to be super, super flashy, but when they come in, they're going to be able to get the job done. I think that's the way I see it with both Wyatt Gilmore and James Nesta, expecting both of them to have a big role.
Or one spot we haven't talked about yet, at D tackle.
Where
do you go here? I wrote down Tank Harrington, had a good camp.
Yeah.
But man, it feels like there's a bunch. This is the one position that I really truthfully don't feel like I have a great beat on still. And not like in a bad way.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a bunch of guys have kind of put themselves in position. Obviously, Stone and Jackson are incredible. We talked about that at length all offseason. But then after that, like Trent Wilson, Nigel Smith, Bishop Thomas, Tank Harrington, who's had a good camp. Where do you kind of, you know, put that right now in terms of who would you say is like the biggest stock riser of that group? Because they've all done at different times. You kind of felt like you ask at a different point in the month of August, you might have had a different answer, sort of a thing with that group right now.
I don't know. I would probably go Bishop Thomas.
Interesting.
But I think it's Stone Jackson. I think three is Bishop Thomas. I think four is Trent Wilson, and I think five is Tank Harrington right now. So those I think are going to be your top five defensive tackles. But I think Bishop Thomas, just the fact that he's been, it's not flashy, it's nothing crazy, but it's consistent. I think he's been able to kind of take the upper hand on like a Trent Wilson or a Tank Harrington or a Nigel Smith, just because of how consistent he's been. So right now I think he'll have a pretty decent role on this team, but I'm very much looking for a Trent Wilson or a Tank Harrington to go out there and just kind of emerge as a major player on this team. So yeah, we'll see, but that's a position that I still don't, like you said, I don't feel like I have a great read on that position either, as far as who's going to be third, fourth, fifth. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I gave my guess. I think that's how it will be, but I'm not 100% sure that that's how it'll look.
Yeah, we'll see. That's one that we're going to learn a lot more as the games start, especially up in Michigan.
Who do they put out there?
You're going to play every player on the defensive roster, it feels like, against UTEP. Everyone's going to get some run in that game, especially on defense. But then, you know, we'll learn a lot more about the trust factor, the trust level going up to Ann Arbor, obviously in week two, which is so close. Very exciting. Yeah. Anything else on defense? I think we hit every position, but anybody else on defense you wanted to make sure you brought up? Just want to make sure.
I think we hit it all, but I will give a shout out to Reggie Powers. Talking with sources, who was the camp MVP? Reggie Powers was almost the consensus answer.
Cool.
He was really good in their big scrimmage. He had three sacks, a lot of TFLs. It just seemed like he had the camp they were looking for him to have. Like, we think Reggie Powers is going to be this, and he went out and he did it. I think it's noteworthy, but camp MVP, I think if I was giving it to someone, I would give it to Reggie Power. So not necessarily a stock riser, but it's an interesting note. But yeah, I think we covered it all. We had Amari Robinson, safety, Tristan Haynes, corner, James Nesta, linebacker, Wyatt Gilmore at defensive end, and then defensive tackle is kind of up in there. So yeah, hit every position there, but it feels like we have a better idea of who those depth guys on this team are going to be. I think one question I still have is backup Cheetah, because I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm high on Jeremiah Newcomb. I like Jeremiah Newcomb, but he hasn't been out there. And so that's opened the door for LeBron Bauer to play some Cheetah, true freshman. So hopefully you don't have to deal with the injury to Reggie Powers, because after that, since Newcomb's been banged up, I don't know who that's going to be. And hopefully Newcomb is back out there on the field, because I think that would be him, but something to monitor.
Yeah, no, that is a definite question mark that remains. I would think just like body types that Omarion Robson could potentially do it, but then like where does that leave your safety depth? And that's where it's like, can a Markel Ford be ready to go? Because he could kind of maybe fill that in. I don't know. That is, I think, a fair question. It still kind of somewhat looms, is like, what are the Cheetah options after those first couple of guys? Because it does seem like it's not super obvious, which is you know, kind of somewhat rare here recently. Yeah. So put a bow on it. Just in general with camp, what you felt like you learned, maybe your biggest takeaway. I mean, for me, the two things, and we've just to kind of rehash a little bit what we already said, but feels like defensive depth is still really good. I don't have really much concern. I feel like, again, Cheetah is probably the one thing, like you just said, that's a little bit up in the air. But everywhere else, you feel like there are four, five, six guys that you feel good about. And then it feels like offensive line-wise, the depth is as good as it's been in a long time. The fact that you can lose your center, and that after that initial, like, oh, God, wore off when it first happened. And obviously it helps knowing that Jake Mikla will be back. That's obviously a huge help. But I feel like offensive line confidence-wise is pretty good, as good as it's been in a while. I feel like the depth is really good. You can even lose a couple guys and still feel like you can piece it together, which is a good feeling, because obviously here recently it's felt like there was no margin for error, and now it feels like they have a little bit of cushion. So that's been one thing that I really feel like I've learned, or at least grown some confidence in, as offensive line. Just feeling a lot better about that group. But anything for you elsewhere that you feel like you learned, or any other grand takeaways you want to get out there?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. We've kind of talked about what my other ones would be. Elijah Thomas, and then Noah Best, like just some of these individual players that we've talked about. So yeah, I think you summed that up pretty well. Huge thing, offensive line depth. And then I know everyone kind of freaked out with the Jake Mikla injury, and you hate to lose a guy like Jake Mikla for the few games that it might be, but it feels like injury situation. I mean, I'm not trying to jinx anything, knock on wood, right? But this is better than they've been in years past, as far as right now, only having really one major injury. So I think, you got through fall camp. I think you take that, as much as it sucks to lose Mikla.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And again, knock on wood, but it does feel like they've been pretty healthy right now, which is a good feeling for sure.
So, well, I guess Torrey Blaylock would be the other one, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Right at the beginning. Yeah. And obviously still kind of waiting for him to get back into the mix, which you figure he will obviously at some point soon, hopefully. And we'll see what that looks like whenever that does happen. But good fall camp for sure. Yep. Really good. Good for us. I mean, it had a lot of great content. We added a lot of, subs this month. And I feel like more people are on the YouTube than ever. So really good, productive fall camp. And we're pumped. We're pumped and excited to get this season going, obviously. And this upcoming game week, everything is shifted up. So we're going to talk to players on Sunday night. The press conference is going to be on Monday, where that's usually Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. And then the three of us, Brody, myself, and Tom, will be back on Tuesday. And we're going to kind of finally set the table for the season, our final predictions for the season. We'll do that. And we're also planning to maybe do that show live for the first time. So we'll talk more about that over on the board and stuff before then. But something to keep an eye on. Really good fall camp, though. Before we get out of here, I did want to at least throw it out to you for the hoops people out there. Can you explain what's happening? Because I think everyone is just kind of wondering, Oklahoma got these two great 5-for-5 pickups that we talked about last week with BJ Edwards coming from SMU, Duke Brennan from Villanova. It feels great. Feels like the roster's in a great spot, even with the Akolda Gak, unfortunate with his, eligibility getting denied by the NCAA. Even with that, you felt like, man, this got a chance to be a really good roster. We talked about that last week. But now there's been all these new rulings and all these new things. I mean, as best you can, where are these two guys at in their eligibility right now in terms of, is Oklahoma going to have them? Do you have any idea if Oklahoma's going to have them?
It's a mess. And Duke Brennan, he is a TRO right now, temporary restraining order. So he's good to go as far as right now. He does have a hearing. I think it's like September 29th or September 19th or 27th, something along those lines. He has a hearing. And so with the recent trend, man, you would think that that one would get stayed, which would then make him temporary ineligible, similar to BJ Edwards. And so I just think ultimately, I mean, and just to sum up, BJ Edwards right now is temporarily ineligible. He had a preliminary injunction, and then they stayed that, similar to another state case in Ohio. That's just kind of the trend right now. But Edwards and Brennan both have the individual state cases, but then they also have California, which did get stayed, and that has a – that one's going to – we're going to learn out a final ruling there probably mid-September. So hopefully, for Oklahoma's sake, the best thing that could happen would be the players winning – the Colorado class action lawsuit. That's going to make all the 2022s eligible. There won't be any questions about that. So if that happens, Edwards and Brennan are good to go. I think people might be freaking out about it, but we don't have any rulings anywhere. They've just been stayed. It's not, you know, people, the NCAA has been kind of acting like they've won these cases. All that has happened is they've won a stay. So they haven't won the case. So, you know, right now, yes, BJ Edwards is temporarily ineligible. But he still has Tennessee and he still has Colorado happening. So I think the best case scenario, like I said, will be that the players winning that Colorado class action lawsuit. I pray that that's what happens, because you look at Duke Brennan and his state case, that's the 27th, 29th of September. If that gets placed on a stay, you're looking at this dragging out into the season. And I don't think this should affect the college basketball season. We need to have this figured out before college basketball. The other thing that happened this week since we last talked was the SEC's new rules on eligibility. They're playing hardball with a team or a program like LSU that's done this in basketball and football. You know, some of the rules are you can't sign a pro contract. If you didn't declare for the draft, you're not eligible. I'm told that those rules do not impact Oklahoma's guys, Duke Brennan or BJ Edwards, in the slightest, right? You can't withdraw from the draft if you don't think you have any eligibility. So that doesn't impact them. Moreover, neither of them signed an Exhibit 10. They did play Summer League, but you're allowed to do that. They didn't sign an Exhibit 10. So those guys under the SEC are eligible. So now we're just watching the Colorado state case. If the players win that, they're both good to go. California, Duke Brennan will have a hearing. If they don't put that on a stay and it moves on and they give him a preliminary injunction, he's good to go. If BJ Edwards, once the stay is done and they expedite it, we'll be able to see if he's going to end up keeping his injunction or not. It's a mess. We've had tons of updates. I'm going to go ahead and go sit for the bar exam after this now, because maybe I can have a chance at passing it. But we've had tons of updates over on the board. If you're confused like everyone, I've been confused a lot of the time. So I've been trying my best to just have it a clear picture. But it's a mess right now. I still believe that these players most likely will be eligible for Oklahoma. But I don't know how that's going to happen or what it's going to look like. But right now, I don't think there's a ton of concern about it. And both of them are practicing with the team right now. Even though BJ Edwards is temporarily ineligible, he can still practice. So they're going through stuff. So they've both been with the team. We'll see. I hate how long this is dragging out. We wish this was just done. Give him a blanket waiver and let's move on. But we'll see how this goes. So kind of a mess.
No, great job. I mean, just putting it as best you can. It is just baffling, confusing. And it's like, who's available, who's not. And it's a mess. Like you said, it's a wild thing. And so the good news, you still have a couple months before Oklahoma plays a game, obviously. And so you have some time here still to try and figure out. They can practice, like you said. So hopefully it just gets worked out. I think that's all you kind of can hope for before the start of the season. Hopefully it gets worked out and that they have these players, obviously, because they were huge additions, like we talked about, and are going to help a lot. And so it's a crazy thing. We'll see. Hopefully we'll keep an eye on it. I'm sure it's not something you want to be juggling during football season.
No.
But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to kind of continue to be a thing into football season. And so,
It's been fun, though. I love covering the portal. That's like my favorite thing. And we kind of had this second portal window. I mean, we have a portal thread up on the board, over 200 comments. So if you're not signed up, like, I mean, that's the type of coverage we're going to bring for the football transfer portal as well, and then the actual basketball transfer portal. So I've enjoyed it. Now the legal stuff, I wish we weren't having to deal with this. I wish we were just done once they got Duke Brennan. But I would encourage everyone to go check out what we have over there. I mean, you can sign up right now under this promo code for $1 your first month and just see what's over there and see the type of coverage we are having. But I would recommend taking advantage of this code right here, Sooner 60, 60% off annual VIP. Like, that's going to get you our portal coverage in December and January, and then that's going to get you our basketball portal coverage. So I love covering the portal. I don't necessarily love covering the litigation stuff, but another thing to juggle. But, hey, it is what it is. We move, so we'll see. We move.
I think that's it. Appreciate you, Brody. Fall camp 2026 in the books. It was a good month. Good month. Excited to get, you know, this thing rolling. We're very excited for this season, and we have a lot of cool new things that we're going to be doing that we'll communicate more coming up. But this feels like it's set up to be our biggest and best season yet. So we're very excited to get this thing going. Again, the schedule is funky next week because of the game being on Friday. We're talking to players on Sunday night. Obviously, if you've been around this, you know that that's usually Monday night. It's going to be on Sunday night. And then the press conference with Brent Venables, Ben Arbuckle, is going to be on Monday, not Tuesday. Of course, you can watch that in full after it concludes on the Oklahoma 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. We're then going to have a three-man pod on Tuesday where, like I said, we're going to lock in our final predictions. We're planning to do that show live. First time we've ever done that, so keep an eye out for that. We'll communicate a time and all that, you know, coming up in the near future. And then we'll have the game preview show for the UTEP game on Thursday. Normally that'll be Friday, but obviously this week, with it being Friday, it'll be on Thursday. So kind of a funky first week. We'll get more normal after that, leading into the Michigan game. But that's kind of a rough schedule for what we have coming up in the next week. Very excited. Very excited. And we're going to have a post-game show Friday night. And again, more information on that coming soon. Some new stuff coming there that we're very excited about. So that's it for now. We'll see you on Tuesday. But again, keep an eye out for coverage all throughout the weekend. And of course, don't forget for the player interviews and stuff on Sunday, and then press conference on Monday. For Brody Lusk, I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you guys next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.